Welcome to the Cowboy Chronicles, the Oklahomans Oklahoma State Football Podcast, presented by Zaxby's. Cure your cravings. Stop in today or visit Zaxby's.com. I am your host, Scott Wright, joined by columnist Barry Trammell. Barry, we're just a few hours after having witnessed the 52-36 victory by Oklahoma State over Oregon State in Corvallis, Oregon, at Research Stadium. A lot of questions that we had coming into the season that were answered. Some that were maybe left unanswered at this point, but one that we know, Spencer Sanders appears to be the quarterback of the present for Oklahoma State.
Well, you know, we've talked for weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It's too tight. They're going to play two quarterbacks. Let them sort it out on the field. Some of you guys have excuses because you're not that old. I'm 58 years old. I ought to know better than to sit here and believe a coach. Spencer Sanders was superb, I thought. He delivered the ball well. He's a great athlete, great running instincts, had a great demeanor, made good decisions. It's clear that the guy is who they thought he was when they recruited him out of Denton Ryan. Now, Oregon State is not one of the 12 best defenses in the Pac-12. I'm sure somebody, Oregon, Washington, somebody's got a better second team defense than this one we saw tonight. So, you know, let's not get too carried away. But some of the things he did transcend who you're playing.
Yeah.
His accuracy, his running instincts, those kinds of things are going to play against anybody. So about the middle of the second quarter, late second quarter, we had it figured out. Spencer Sanders is the quarterback of this team, and they found out tonight that in a season opening road game, he's not going to wilt. He's not going to be silly. He's not going to make stupid moves. I think Oklahoma State, I don't think they found their quarterback today. I think we discovered who their quarterback is what happened.
Yeah, I would agree with that. We got Mike Gundy pulled the old rope-a-dope on us, I think, and it worked. Even when news broke from Brett McMurphy on Twitter that he was reporting that Sanders was going to be the starter, I still wasn't buying the fact that the idea that that both guys wouldn't play. So I thought we'd see Drew Brown well before we did, which was the final minute 19 of the game to take a couple of snaps and run the clock down. But I think the thing about Sanders' performance that stood out the most that I really wasn't necessarily expecting was the accuracy that he was throwing with. There were a lot of passes that were thrown into some tight spots. You know, a couple of really good deep throws that were right on the money, whether they were caught or not. You had heard about the running ability. You had heard about his strong arm. You'd heard that he was accurate, but you hadn't heard that he was that type of accurate. The throws he was making tonight were really impressive, I thought, Barry.
He's 19 of 24 throwing, and outside of one or two Tylan Wallace catches,
mm-hmm.
there weren't any circus catches. Wallace made a nice catch, you know, on a fade pattern.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, they just, you know, he put the ball right where it needed to go. And as you said, there was one drop on the long ball. I just thought he was excellent. I actually thought, you know, when you talk about quarterback decision-making, you're generally talking about where to throw the ball, when to throw the ball, that kind mm-hmm. of thing. I actually thought the one place he looked a little shaky early was in the run game decision-making, whether to
right.
hand it to Chuba Hubbard or keep Tuckett and run himself. I thought that was a little bit shaky early, but after that, even that got really smoothed out.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I thought Spencer Sanders was fantastic. And I think the Cowboys have their man.
There were a couple of times in some on some passing plays when he goes back and looks at the video, he's going to see probably some guys that he didn't see at the time that were open. There was one play where Jelani Woods was wide open over the middle, would have had an easy touchdown. He instead throws it to Landon Wolf. They get down inside the five and still had a positive play out of that one. Another one that he was rolling out, and Dylan Stoner was the man covering Stoner had pulled off and was coming up to stop the run, and Sanders still had the option to throw. He hadn't crossed the line of scrimmage yet, but he had committed to the run at that point when he could have completed a pass for a big gain. So a couple little things that he'll, I'm sure, be focusing on and working on. But other than that, even those mistakes, the things that we're criticizing him for, weren't catastrophic. They weren't turnovers. They weren't huge negative plays, things like that. They really avoided that for the most part. It really helps when your offensive line is blocking the way that it was, and Chuba Hubbard is running the way that he was.
221 yards for Chuba today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the offensive line was outstanding. They weren't exactly blocking the fearsome foursome.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to see in a couple of weeks, you know, how far that line has come. But it was a very good sign. Sanders mostly had plenty of time to throw. And the running game, they really, you know, Sean Gleason in his first game, he really eased Sanders into it. You know, this was not the OSU air raid of years past early. Very few four wide receiver sets. Lots of two tight end sets. Sometimes the second tight end is moved back, you know, into a sort of a wing back position. Mm-hmm. But two tight ends out there, often just two wide receivers. They really got Oregon State a little flummoxed running the ball, powering the ball. Then when Oregon State would adjust, then all of a sudden they'd split it out and throw it over their head or find a seam. But the running game was very good. Sanders goes over 100 yards, 109 rushing. Right. I think he had 76 yards on 9 designed runs.
Mm-hmm.
But that scrambling mode that he can go into is very effective. So, you know, at some point you thought maybe this OSU offense won't be as good as the standard. But from what you saw of Spencer Sanders tonight, you think they're going to be better at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Lose Justice Hill, but Chuba Hubbard looks fantastic. Tylan Wallace looks mid-season form. Look like one of the nation's best players. So I come away thinking, you know what, this OSU offense is up to standards. It's up to the Cowboys standard.
I would agree, and now they've got, of course, McNeese State to really settle in, and then Tulsa to try to get on a roll before they hit Big 12 play, going to Texas in toward the end of September. So, you know, now that we all know that they know who their quarterback is, it changes the dynamic of these non-conference games a little bit to see where this team is heading from an offensive standpoint. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and talk a little bit about the defense. This is the Cowboy Chronicles presented by Zaxby's. We are back on the Cowboy Chronicles presented by Zaxby's. I'm your host, Scott Wright, joined by Barry Trammell. Barry, Jim Knowles was out of all the people that we talked to, He looked a little beat down after this one. 36 points and almost 450 yards. We'll do that to a defensive coordinator. He's got some guys who are hurt. Calvin Bundage didn't make the trip. Israel Antoine didn't make the trip. Kyle Jr. didn't make the trip. Kevin Henry was there but did not play. I don't know that either of the starting linebackers came off the field at all, except in maybe some unusual situations. So Malcolm Rodriguez, Amon Ogbonbamiga on the field almost extensively. Rotated a lot of guys on the defensive line. Did some good things, I thought, but overall, not exactly a shining performance from the Oklahoma State defense.
Well, I said the OSU offense was up to the Cowboy standard. Unfortunately, the OSU defense was down to the Cowboy standard.
Yeah,
it looked the same. This was vintage Cowboys. Great offense, suspect defense. The Beavers score 10 points on their first two drives. And then they go. Cowboys go out and get three straight stops.
Mm-hmm.
I think three straight three and outs.
Yeah, that's correct.
And you think, hey, this is good. Well, then they sort of fell back and not good on third downs. Oregon State was 13 of 20 on third downs. Mm-hmm. Now, the last touchdown came against reserves.
Yeah.
So you cut them a little slack. But still, that's 29 points. And frankly, the Oregon State tried two-point conversions. It really was a 31-point type performance. And Oregon State's not terrible on offense. They're terrible on defense. Their defense
right.
stinks.
Right.
They're not terrible on offense. They're better than a few offensive teams in the Big 12. If TCU had Oregon State's offense, they'd be dangerous.
Yeah.
But this is not a big time offense. This is not the kind of offense that OSU's going to need, that OSU's going to face when they went into the elite of the Big 12. So it's a little disconcerting to give up that much production to Oregon State. That's not acceptable defense. What we saw tonight out of the Cowboys.
We did see a couple of the emergence of a couple of young players that looked like they can be some impact type guys. I thought Trace Ford, as a true freshman playing defensive end, really stood out with what he did. Knocked down a couple of passes, got in the quarterback's face a couple of times, and that's a guy that's basically getting third team reps. You know, playing behind Brock Martin and Mike Scott. But getting involved as much as he could, using his quickness to his advantage. Jaden Jernigan mixed in on the defensive line more at defensive tackle, but took advantage of his opportunities. And not a true freshman, but Trey Sterling, I thought played pretty well, being the guy that was tasked with taking over for Malcolm Rodriguez in the secondary after Rodriguez moved to linebacker. What did you think of Trey Sterling tonight, Barry?
I thought he made a lot of plays, made some tackles, had a knockdown on a blitz. He knocked down a pass, almost had an interception, made a dive, and the referee gave it to him, and it was one referee gave it to him. Other one comes in and says no dice. So I thought it was a solid performance by him, something to build on. You know, and the secondary wasn't great tonight. I thought Roe Williams and A.J. Green were fine, but Oregon State picked on the safeties quite a bit, the other safeties. That's going to happen. I thought the pass rush was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
They got with it pretty good. Just one or two sacks is all they had. But they got pressure on Jake Luton. A veteran, sixth-year quarterback. So, you know, there's some things you can build on, but no turnovers, that's a problem. And third down stops were very few. So that's the point of contention, I think, if you're Jim Knowles starting Sunday.
Yeah. And they do deserve some credit for that stretch in the second quarter, where they did have the three and outs, because that was when the offense really clicked and put the game really comfortably in hand at 31-10. They were down 10-7 at the time, and before Oregon State could get back going on offense, Oklahoma State was on top, 31-10, late in the second quarter. So, that's going to be the section of the film that that Oklahoma State is going to try to duplicate going forward. The rest of it, you had some good with the bad, and kind of had to deal with what you were getting at that point. So, definitely some positive things to look at, some areas to grow and build on. But more than anything, they need some guys to get healthy, and because they've got some guys with some experience, some guys who are veterans that can come in and help out, keep some guys fresh, and really try to get the defense a little bit more shored up than what we saw tonight. So,
you mentioned four guys that really would help them.
Yeah,
Henry and Calvin Bundage and Junior and Israel Antoine. So that's four guys that would really help this defense that weren't here tonight. So, maybe getting everybody back will get the defense fortified a little bit. What you thought coming into this year is defense might have to be, carry more of the load. Well, turns out maybe not.
Right.
I mean, when you're trotting Chuba Hubbard, Tylan Wallace, and Spencer Sanders, what we saw tonight, when you're trotting those three guys out, you don't have to be a bunch of saber-tooths on defense to win a bunch of games. Just get in the way a little bit. Go out there and just, try to – maybe somebody will trip over you. So, I come away feeling better about this Oklahoma State football season than I did coming in because Sanders was so dynamic. And he gives them a chance to have an extra special quarterback. Hard to be that as a redshirt freshman, but he showed the tools tonight that's possible. So, with just a little bit of development by the defense, the Cowboys could have something.
All right, one last quick break. We'll come back and wrap up the Cowboy Chronicles presented by Zaxby's. We are back on the Cowboy Chronicles presented by Zaxby's. I'm your host, Scott Wright, joined by Barry Trammell. Barry, Spencer Sanders' demeanor, I think, was maybe what was one of the most impressive things that he did as far as intangible things that we could see. Obviously, we've discussed his performance, but he, being a guy who redshirted last year, never saw the field, stepped on the field for his first college action tonight, really conducted himself, I thought, in a veteran way, and did not seem at all taken aback by the stage.
I would agree. Very poised. Not a great atmosphere. 31,000 people here. The students aren't back at Corvallis.
Right.
It's not a pit or anything. But I thought they were fairly loud for 31,000 in a Pac-12 stadium. You're not at Florida Field or Gainesville or someplace in the SEC. So I thought it was a pretty good environment, and I thought he handled that well. The other thing I liked about his demeanor is afterwards, there'd been some scuttlebutt that, hey, Sanders might be the better player, but Brown might be the better leader, and that might be true. But I thought, Sanders went out of his way tonight to talk about everybody around him that helped him.
Mm-hmm.
Hubbard, the receivers, the line. You really ask him anything, and he went back to how much his teammates helped him. So it looks like he's trying to send that message that, hey, I'm not here thinking I'm destined for the Heisman Trophy. So that to me was sort of a good sign. It's not the kind of quotes I want as a journalist, but you know what? I think it's probably pretty good for the football team.
I'm curious where you would or how you would rank the third down chainsaw, the chainsaw sound that rumbles through Reitzer Stadium before the opponent as a third down play.
I found it quite annoying.
Yeah.
Which I guess perhaps means it's effective.
I suppose so.
But, you know, I don't know. Who was it? Somebody. Who is it that has a motorcycle on the field? Been someplace where there's a motorcycle on the field. And it's someplace you wouldn't expect. K-State or Iowa State or somebody. I mean, it's not like a cutting edge. It's not, you know, Miami U or someplace. I found it much like the motorcycle. It's just annoying.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Artificial noise. I've become a little bit jaded to it. Don't hear it a lot. Don't like it when I do hear it. I think the NBA causes that with all their piped in
stuff. That's what I was going to ask.
But I just, well, I don't even hear it. But I heard that tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that tonight. So maybe it works for Oregon State. I don't know. Really doesn't seem to. There's no empirical evidence that they play any kind of good defense, whether it's inspired by the chainsaw or not. But I've always found a chainsaw to be a relatively charming sound for as loud as it can be. But tonight was not so. Not so at all.
That's an interesting way to describe a chainsaw. I never would have put chainsaw and charming in the same sentence. But I suppose so. It was definitely loud and irritating. That's for sure. People watching on TV were complaining about it on Twitter as well.
Yeah, so. I saw that. And that's interesting.
Yeah,
that you can hear it to that extent on a broadcast.
Right. Last thing, and we'll shut this thing down for tonight on the post game podcast. But. Is there anything at all that can be learned about this team a week from now against McNeese State?
Nothing good.
Yeah.
It's all bad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if Sanders goes out and goes 6 for 21.
Right.
You know, I think that's bad for everybody. If, you know, OSU rushes for 84 yards, that would be very bad.
Mm-hmm.
If McNeese State, you know, final score is 59-35, that would be very bad.
Right.
Now, I tell you what would be good is if Matt Amendola kicks a couple of 54-yard field goals.
Yeah.
Because, you know, generally speaking, the opponent doesn't have a whole lot to do with whether you make a field goal or not. So,
yeah.
That would be good. Tom Hutton, he punted twice. I was very disappointed in his punts. I really thought he was going to kick them over the scoreboard and into the Willamette Valley, the way you guys have been building this guy up. And then he just went out there and punted about like any other punter. So if we see a lot out of Tom Hutton next Saturday, that would be bad. But
I said this at the time. I still believe it. I think he was holding back. I think he was working for height and placement rather than distance. I think he's got a lot more in that left leg of his. You look at the way that he was holding the ball with the points straight up and down. He was working on some things, I think. I don't think that he was unleashing the left leg that we're going to see, perhaps when they go to Austin in late September. I think that he's got more in the tank than what he showed us tonight.
Well, that could be. Now, you know, he barely got on the field.
Yeah, that's right.
First time he came out there, it was fourth and one. And the offense begged Gundy to let him stay.
Mm-hmm.
And he called timeout. And then he sent the punters out there. And then the other one was when the game was over. Nobody was really paying attention.
Right.
So, I don't know. But you could be right. Maybe the... Maybe he's so in tune to American football this quick that he knows that when he punted those two times, it just wasn't that big a deal, and he's playing a little possum. Maybe so.
Now, I don't know what benefit that that offers, but I don't know that pretending that you don't know your quarterback offers a lot of benefit either. So, who knows? I bet it
provided a bunch of chuckles on the way home by the coaching staff.
Oh, I'm sure. I don't doubt that they had some enjoyment with that for sure. So, all right, Barry. Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for the post game podcast. Thank you for joining me. Remember, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, rate, review, send us questions for the mailbag. Catch me on Twitter at ScottWrightOK. Email swright@oklahoma.com. We'll get to that later next week, heading into the McNeese State game. And we'll have another podcast between now and then, so plenty of time to get into the mailbag. For now, that will do it for the Cowboy Chronicles, presented by Zaxby's. Cure your craving, stop in today, or visit Zaxby's.com.